Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hey. Do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie.
We've all been there. You've been invited to a Halloween party last minute, and you're digging through the slim pickings of costumes that are left at the ransacked Spirit Halloween store. In the hour and a half you spend trying to justify spending $80 on a Prince costume that's called Purple Man on the package, you hear Monster Mash at least three times. Does it get you in the mood for Kit Kats and candy corn? Or does it make you want to summon the ghost of Bobby Boris Pickett so you can kick him right back into the crypt? Stay tuned to find out how we feel about this novelty classic.
All came from their humble abodes to catch a jolt from my electrode.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
All right, Matt, so making a Halloween playlist for this time of year is not always the easiest thing. I can't believe what a lack of Halloween songs there are. For the plethora of holiday slash Christmas songs are out there, why is there such a minimal amount of Halloween songs?
I would challenge that there are a lot of Halloween songs, just not famous ones.
Okay.
Because you and I, let's be honest, you and I can at least think of multiple bands whose entire career is like Halloween type songs.
Sure, sure. Okay, I'll give you that.
But from a mainstream perspective, yeah, you get Monster Mash, I Put a Spell on You, Thriller.
Right.
And, you know, a few other, Gelsey a couple weeks ago introduced the idea of candy-related songs like Sugar Sugar and I Want Candy being tossed into the mix.
Seems like a stretch to me. I think the greatest Halloween song ever, which is another one of those ones that seems like a very popular song to me, but maybe a lot of people don't know, but is Dead Man's Party. That's always my favorite Halloween song. But yes, not a Halloween goes by that the Monster Mash is not a big part of it. And I guess we'll get into it. Matt, the Monster Mash.
It's one of my first favorite songs.
Really? That would explain a lot.
Yeah, as a kid, I loved the Monster Mash. And I know why. I remember Monster Mash specifically. My first introduction to Monster Mash was that there was these Hanna-Barbera VHS tapes where they would take popular songs from the 60s and edit the Hanna-Barbera cartoons to sync up with the song. So it was like Catch a Wave by the Beach Boys. And I'm pretty sure there was like a Jan and Dean song on there and whatnot. But on that video was Monster Mash, and it was all footage of the Groovy Ghoulies edited to the Monster Mash. And I was like three or four when my grandfather gave me that VHS tape, and I watched it constantly, and Monster Mash was easily my favorite song. I knew all of the words to that song by the time I was in elementary school. Covered that song multiple times, at least twice recorded, and many times live. The other thing you have to know about me is I love 50s and 60s rock and roll. Like, that is like one of my big loves. So this song being like an early parody of that time period, and like it's like my love of Weird Al, it's my love of horror movies, and it's my love of 50s rock and roll all merging into a singular 3-minute experience.
Sure. And I guess this song fits 100% into the category of novelty music. It was a spoof on dance crazes of the time, such as the twist and the mashed potato. One thing that people love bringing up, I've realized in recent years, is that this song is not actually the Monster Mash, kind of in the vein of Tenacious D tribute. This is a song about a song called the Monster Mash, correct?
Yes.
Is that what's going on here?
Yep. This is a song about doing the dance.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a song about the Monster Mash. It never really tells you how to do the Monster Mash, although if you're curious how to do the Monster Mash, it's basically that you're just doing the mashed potato, but with your hands out in front like you're Frankenstein. That's how the Monster Mash is, in fact, done. This all stemmed from, I thought that, I'm not sure how much of a deep dive you did into Bobby Pickett.
Oh, yeah,
Bobby Pickett is kind of an interesting dude, for sure. And he just seems like a 1960s Matt Kelly to me. I'm reading about, it's like, he grew up and his dad owned a movie theater, so he just sat in the theater watching movies all day long, and then wanted to do comedy. So like after, I mean, I didn't serve in the army, but he served in the army for 3 years. And when he came back, he would do these nightclub acts with a band. And when they would do songs, specifically Little Darlin' by the Diamonds, those songs, if you listen to a lot of those songs, there's always like the monologue part of the song, which like kind of came back with like Boys to Men.
Yeah.
Would do that where you have the dude with the bass would just be like, "Darlin',
I know you cheated. I just didn't care."
But he was like, one night he was like, "Hey, do you mind if I do that monologue as Boris Karloff? I think that'd be really funny." And they're like, "Yeah, let's go for it." And apparently it killed when he did it. Mm. And one of his bandmates was like, "We got to write a song where you do the whole song as Boris Karloff." And that's the beginning of the Monster Mash. And that became a train that he rode for 40 years.
Yeah. And he rode it right to number one on the charts 2 weeks before Halloween in 1962. So, Matt, if you identify as the Bobby Boris Pickett of 2021, I hope that your trajectory is the same.
Here's hoping, fingers crossed. Beat out the Four Seasons Sherry. I'm sure that eventually made it to number one, but damn.
Wow. Impressive. This song, I watched him perform it, and I would do the quotes around the word perform on American Bandstand, and basically, and I know that everyone did this, but he just went up and lip synced his song. Like, couldn't he have at least like just had the backing tracks and said the words? He lip synced and made the dumbest faces the whole time, to the point where like, oh my God, I can't stand this. This is so bad.
So I have, I still have this VHS tape. I can't find the Hanna-Barbera one, but there was a tape that I don't know where my mom got this cassette tape, but she brought it home one Halloween, and it was called Spooky World. It was about how Kane Hodder, who plays Jason in most of the Friday the 13th movies, had a farm. And for like 10 years at his farm, Tom Savini would come down to the farm, and they would get all local people in the town and do like professional makeup on them. And he would drive people on did a hayride through his farm that had like this top level Hollywood production value. But this was like in the middle of like Midwest nowhere. Like, think of like Missouri this was happening in. But on this VHS tape, it's just like you're riding through the hayride with them. But in one part of it, for the grand opening, they brought out Bobby Boris Pickett to perform the Monster Mash. And this was in the era where he's wearing, I'm sure you found some live footage where he's like in the bloody lab coat with like fake spiders all over him, and he's got the backup band that's dressed as like mummies and goblins and whatever. But he did a big little like speech beforehand, and one of his favorite things to bring up whenever he would talk about this song was that this was the song that Elvis Presley repeatedly said was the dumbest thing he's ever heard.
That was the next thing I was going to say. I saw that too, and I wanted to make note of it. This is the one time I could probably ever say that, yeah, I agree with Elvis. This song is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It is, you know, I maybe this year appreciate it slightly more. And I'm going to tell you why. And if you're in a band and you have a show around Halloween time coming up, you may have experienced the same sort of thing that I'm going to talk about. And that is this conversation. We have a Halloween show coming up. Oh, we should learn a Halloween song. Well, I guess we could do a Misfits song. Oh, isn't there something else we could do? Well, how about the Monster Mash? Okay, let's just do the Misfits. That's fine. Like, that is the conversation that I'm sure other people in bands have also had, and you end up doing the Misfits song because the Monster Mash is such a fucking stupid song. It is, I don't know. It's been pounded into our brains year after year, but I'm trying to justify it a little bit. Matt, one thing I think of, you're a huge Freaks and Geeks fan, right?
Yep. I think of the Halloween episode every time I hear this song.
You think of Sam and Lindsay's mom dressed up like a cowgirl and says, "He did the Monster Mash." I don't know why she adds the lisp into the thing, but I always think about that when I hear this song. I'm trying to take it easy a little bit on Boris Pickett, but part of what makes me dislike it even more when I dove deeper, and Matt, you know where I'm going with this, is that the guy kept recreating the song over and over for every event.
Let me just throw out just a few of the songs that he did. There was the Monsters Holiday, which was his Christmas song about the monsters getting together for Christmas.
Which is the same exact song.
Yeah.
Just changed to Christmas. And it went to number 30. Like, why?
There was the Blood Bank Blues. There was Me and My Mummy. There was the Monsters Rap, which was a rap song about the mad scientist getting frustrated that Frankenstein wouldn't talk, but it turned out Frankenstein could rap. But in his defense, and I think that this is pretty cool, thinking of the age of Bobby Boris Pickett at the time, just a couple years before his death in 2007, he did a parody of his biggest song, the Monster Mash, and called it the Climate Mash. And it was a song where he vented his frustrations at the United States' inactivity to stopping deforestation and global warming.
Don't make me love Bobby Pickett. Don't make me love him. He also is the guy that made, which you forgot, Matt, the Monster Swim. Once again, the exact same music as Monster Mash, except it's the Monster Swim. And basically, to do the Monster Swim, as you can imagine, is just like the Monster Mash, except you swim. I watched him perform this song as well on American Bandstand. And I got to tell you, it's the 60s. Dick Clark's hosting, but he's performing the Monster Swim, which is pretty much the same exact thing. And even the black and white 60s teenage audience, you could tell that even they were like, all right, that's enough, man. We get it. You know, you could tell even those people had enough.
They hit their wall. But like, again, I don't think Bobby Pickett, I think it's one of the situations where music just unfortunately became what he was known for, because at his core, I think he saw himself as an actor. And he appeared in a lot of movies, just a few of them. He was a regular appearance on Petticoat Junction, pretty sure was a sitcom. Yeah, it was an American sitcom on CBS that ran for about 8 years, and then appeared in such classic films as It's a Bikini World, Chrome in the Hot Leather, Death Master, and Lobster Men from Mars. So, you know, he had a good thing going. Again, he is the most Matt Kelly character we've ever discussed on this podcast. And he appeared in 1991. I don't know too much about this appearance. I'm sure it was there to sing the Monster Mash. But he appeared on Beyond Vaudeville. Are you familiar with Beyond Vaudeville or the MTV spinoff of that show?
I am not.
Were you familiar with Oddville MTV?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so Beyond Vaudeville was the local, like, access version of that show before MTV threw the money and brought them to New York to do it in, like, the MTV studios. But yeah, like, Oddville USA was, or Oddville MTV was literally just, like, a combination of modern-day circus freaks, like, dudes who would, like, drill nails into their noses and stuff, but then they'd also just be like, here's a novelty singer from 1930 coming to do a song for us.
Right. Okay. Well, dude, I was also, when you mentioned it, I had to look it up, what It's a Bikini World is. And it's a 1967 film, not rated, comedy, in which a male chauvinist named Mike attempts to get an intelligent, burgeoning feminist Delilah into his harem. When she resists, Mike then poses as his brother Herbert, but in the process falls in love with Delilah. Sounds pretty good.
Sounds pretty good. Directed by a woman, featuring cameos from The Animals and The Castaways and the R&B boy group or girl group The Toys. I think I'm throwing that on my to watch list. But Bobby Pickett is third billed.
Wow.
as the character of Woody.
Damn. Okay.
He's had a, you know, I feel like our career paths are similar. I'm a weird goofy guy. You've appeared in a couple movies like Boris Pickett is the one-hit thunder mascot, truly.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
He's the best combination of all of us. The legacy of this song has a weird, bizarre... I hit three main points when I was looking this up because there's so much about the Monster Mash and like how it's appeared in all of these different TV shows and movies. So I didn't want to bother with that because basically any movie that takes place at Halloween, they find a way to throw the Monster Mash somewhere in a party scene. But... Mm-hmm. It was turned into a film in 1995, which was the follow-up movie from the writers of Toy Story. Was their next movie was Monster Mash the movie, starring Pickett, but also featuring Jimmy J.J. Walker, John Kazier, who's the voice of the Crypt Keeper, and Mick Stoll from all of the John Waters movies, and Kansas Cameron from Full House in a movie that's literally the plot of the Monster Mash played out for 90 minutes. In 1997, as you mentioned, the Misfits covered the song to promote the DVD release of the 1967 stop-motion movie Mad Monster Party. If you've ever seen, that is not a very good movie. But that is also one of the only times that was the first time that Jerry only sang lead on a Misfits song.
I wonder how Glenn Danzig felt about the fact that the Misfits were covering the Monster Mash. I didn't know those worlds were going to collide when I told that story about figuring out what song to cover earlier. Wow.
Yeah. Mad Monster Party is from, it's the Halloween movie from the team that did like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all of those, where all of the monsters are meeting for one big party. The most notable thing is Phyllis Diller voices the Bride of Frankenstein in it.
And why isn't this good? This sounds like something you would love and talk about a lot and probably do a podcast about.
Oh, I watch it every Halloween. I just don't think it's a very good movie.
Okay.
But...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I have memories of seeing it on TV as a kid. Like, I've only got a handful of movies that I can have on the TV when trick-or-treaters are coming by, and that is, like, the perfect movie to put on as kids are showing up because it is as inoffensive as humanly possible. But my favorite piece of Monster Mash trivia is that it was the inspiration for one of my favorite pinball machines, the Monster Bash, in which the plot of the pinball game is that the band that performed the Monster Mash has been broken up for years and you're trying to reunite them so they can play a show. So you have, I'm not sure if you know that pinball machines are things that can actually be beaten. That was like a thing that I like had to learn recently.
Never knew there was an ending to pinball.
Yeah. Like it technically doesn't end until you run out of the three balls, but like you have a task that you're trying to complete. And then once you complete that task, you just try to complete it a second time, but now points are doubled. So like if you're looking at the board of a pinball machine, you'll see like there's all these different areas in there where there's different things, and there's certain things you're supposed to do to set off those different pieces of the machine. I have two friends who are like ranked as one of the 100 best pinball players in the world. This is the only reason why I know all this stuff. Wow. But in Monster Bash, like you have to imagine the pinball screen, and there's in the dead center. So if you shot the ball straight down the middle, there'd be like one area and there'd be like the mummy's casket. So you'd have to hit that maybe like five times and that unlocks the mummy on the board. And then like there'd be like a little tunnel that if you shot into that like five different times, that was like into Dracula's tomb and that unlocks Dracula. And then there's like a Frankenstein in the center that you unactivate him. But what was cool about the machine was like, you know, some of the pinball machines had like a digital screen in the back. So once you've unlocked all of these monsters, the game would kind of pause and on the screen you would see them perform the song. And then like the next round would start up.
Wow. Matt, I got to tell you, I think the Monster Mash is a pretty dumb song, but there is a Halloween song that I think is actually dumber. And I just heard it yesterday and I have to bring it up. Do you know Feed My Frankenstein by Alice Cooper?
Yeah. How did you not know that song? It's. I only know it because of Wayne's World.
No, I know it. I know the song. Oh. But I don't think I realized how dumb it truly was until it came.
Oh, the lyrics are inane.
Like, I'm a hungry man, but I don't want pizza. I'll blow down your house, and then I'm going to eat you.
Going to eat you.
Like, why? Why, Alice Cooper?
I'm just saying, you know, Punchline's done a couple good covers around this time of the year. They did Ghostbusters a few years ago.
We did do Ghostbusters.
Maybe it's time for Punchline to cover Feed My Frankenstein. Really? Yeah. Really turn it into the masterpiece it always deserved to be.
Matt, have you this year had any very Halloween things happen to you? Because I had one happen to me today.
Yeah, I had a friend that visited last week. So we kind of took advantage of them being on the East Coast for the first time in many, many years. And did like, we went to like a pumpkin patch. We went to like a haunted outdoor attraction, stuff like that. But nothing like spooky, scary werewolf bar mitzvah level of Halloween-y.
Right. Well, my thing was very much less involved, but for the past month or so in the morning when I'm doing whatever, washing a dish or something, I look out my kitchen window and there is this big fat spider just hanging there. And I'm always like, damn, look at that dude. Been thinking about naming him, but I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. It's probably a girl. But I'm always like, whoa, that is a big spider. And it is fat. It is a fat spider. So anyway, always check it out in the morning, give it a little look, a little what's up. Went out today, and I had to use the hose for something. I had to spray something off. So I went over, and I turned on the spigot outside, and boom, I look down. That spider is on my hand.
And oh, no.
Whoa, whoa, and shook my hand, and the spider fell onto the ground, scampered away. And I was like, damn, that big-ass spider who I look at and am intimidated by every morning was just on my hand. That was very Halloween moment for me today.
I'll take that. Yeah, that's a pretty Halloween moment for me, for sure. That is terrifying.
And also, in the house that I've lived in for like 5 years now, I've had probably more than a dozen bats in my house. Unfortunately for the bats, my cats always get them and sometimes decapitate them. And I feel bad because, you know, bats are good for the environment. I love bats. But honestly, if you get in my house, my cats are going to murder you. And cats are also very Halloweenish type animals.
That's true. Last time I visited you, I had that moment where we saw a bat either fly in or fly out of that garage. And then every time I walked to your car, it was a mad dash from the door to the car because I was like, I do not want a bat on me.
If it's like, outside, it's cool. They're just eating bugs and whatever. But yeah, I think my cats have kind of eradicated them from my house. I think bats are awesome. I would never encourage the killing of bats. I think they're very good for the environment. But I can't control my murderous cats.
I'm pro-bat, as you said, outside. I want to just quickly run down the lyrics because
the
song does tell a story. And in its defense, there is a story being told. So I was working in my lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise, he did the mash. So we'll skip the chorus. We all know the chorus. It was a graveyard smash, going on flash, whatever. So from my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes. That verse means nothing to me. That verse is pointless.
Just fluff.
Then we get to the bridge. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking. All were digging the sounds. Igor on the chains, backed by the baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Keeper Five.
Yeah.
So we got a party going, man. Like, everybody's coming in. Igor's getting in on the action.
This is where Bobby Boris Pickett was so lazy. He created this entire world. He created this entire lore. You know, what do you call this when you're like writing a show or something and you have like the backstory? He created like the Monster Mash universe. You had the Crypt Kicker 5. You had all these other, you didn't have to just keep redoing the same song.
Yeah. We can move past Frankenstein. This is my favorite part of the song. This verse into the next verse. So the next verse we have is, out of his coffin, Drac's voice did ring. It seems he was troubled by just one thing. He opened his lid, he shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist? Right?
Okay.
We go into the chorus, very next line. Now everything's cool, Drac a part of the band. No further examination needed. Dracula was upset. While we were singing the chorus, we worked it all out. He's good.
Gotcha.
Now the Monster Mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. But if you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you. And then, mostly the song was for him to show off his Boris Karloff impersonation and his Bela Lugosi impersonation. And in his defense, he does very good impressions of both of those people.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Bobby Boris Pickett, I'll give him credit for that. He has created a song that has lived on for a long ass time, and I don't see it going away. You know, people love Halloween. I gotta say, I love Halloween. I know you're a Christmas lover, but I like Halloween way more than Christmas. Yeah, you're
both. I love both of them equally. I'll say this also. Here were the five biggest songs of the year that the Monster Mash came out. And honestly, the Monster Mash has more staying power than four of these five songs.
Okay, let's hear them.
So three of them were Elvis songs. Return to Sender. Don't know that one.
You don't know Return to Sender?
I don't think so. Good Luck Charm. Don't know that one.
Don't know that one.
Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Obviously, everybody knows that one.
Amazing.
Ray Charles, Whom I Love. I Can't Stop Loving You. Can't say I know that particular one.
Mm-hmm.
And The Tornadoes, Telstar. Never heard of it.
Don't know.
So I did watch a video. I try not to watch too many of this guy's videos just because it is a very similar genre of what we do, which is the Todd in the Shadows YouTube series, One Hit Wonderland. Mm-hmm. But he did point out something that I think is worth noting, that like this song only is as successful as it is because it is coming out post Elvis getting drafted, pre-Beatles, during this like 2 year period where like rock and roll didn't really have anyone like a notable name to cling to at that time.
Wow. And they picked Bobby Boris Pickett
I think also just if he put this out in July, I don't think it would have been the success that it ultimately was.
Right. It's very specific. I mean, you know, it's funny, it's still out there, man. The Halloween song thing is still out there for the taking. You know, there's songs that get lumped into there, like Stevie Wonder, Superstition. Like, that is a real stretch to call that a Halloween song, but yet it gets thrown in there. Bad Moon Rising gets thrown in there. Like, these songs, they're not necessarily Halloween songs. There is a real hunger for Halloween music. If you want to put the time in and write the right song, you could have yourself a hit for a few weeks in October.
It even gets, like, I think that especially with horror fans, we get so desperate for good Halloween tunes that we just like cling to like songs that appeared in horror movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's like, all right, sure, Bobby Brown On Our Own.
Yeah.
That
I love
works.
That one.
Sure, let's throw that on there. Like all of the different like Moondance by Van Morrison, because that's in America Werewolf in London. Like just like whatever you can cling on to. But then you have a lot of bands that maybe aren't the mainstream successes, but just, you know, if you're looking for bands that might give you a little bit of a Halloween vibe, you have like early AFI, Alkaline Trio, a lot of the Aquabat stuff, Blaster and the Rocket Man, Harley Poe, Amigo and the Devil. There's so many. The Cramps. You could just listen to the Cramps all October if you want.
My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, there's plenty of like spooky
ICP.
This is ICP's time. This is Gwar's time. This is Green Jelly's time. Like,
yeah,
go wild. Like there are options. But I agree with you. When you're walking into the spirit Halloween, they got about six songs that 100% check out and a lot of stretches.
Yeah. For sure. And the Monster Mash is not a stretch. The Monster Mash, however, is it One Hit Thunder or is it a One Hit Blunder? Matt, I'll let you go first.
I'm going Thunder. I when I was listening to this song today to prepare, I may have done the Monster Mash in my kitchen, just kind of like grooving to the tunes.
Okay. I would have to say that the Monster Mash is a mega blunder. if Bobby had followed it up with a little bit of creativity instead of creating the same song over and over, I may have given him a thunder pass. But this song is just and probably one of the most annoying things about Halloween. One of the things that could maybe make me not like Halloween so much. Although Bobby Boris Pickett does seem like a cool guy. I like that he was fighting for the climate. I'll give him credit for that. And he had a hit, Staying Power. I like that he pissed off Elvis because whatever. I don't give a shit about Elvis. And I like that, but still, I think he's a blunder.
I mean, he's probably the biggest novelty song we have discussed and probably will ever discuss on this show.
True.
But, yep. All right. Sorry, Bobby. I tried, buddy. This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafalios of the bands Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Pretty Petty by Punchline, off Nightlights, a collection of previously unreleased songs. Visit punchline.com for news, merch, and upcoming show dates. Punchline is playing Anti-Fest on November 20th at the Roxanne Theater in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Come check out the show and say hello to us if you see us there. Do you want to hear your song on the show or have an interest in sponsoring an episode? Then contact me at matt@geekscape.net for our rates. If you have any interest in podcasting, visit weknowpodcasting.com for how Matt and Chris can make your show sound as professional as possible. Let us know your thoughts on the show by emailing us at onehitthunderpodcast@gmail.com and make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. Tune in next week for another episode of One Hit Thunder. Trust fun when it should be from the heart. Please ignore the trends and charts and maybe pick up your guitar. Yeah, you say it doesn't matter, but it does. You're taking every shortcut for a taste of what you want.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map, from Fall Out Boy to Slayer. Peer pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.